Glory to God. It's good to be in the house of the Lord here this morning.
Amen, amen.
This is the house of the Lord.
Yes.
This is the Father's house.
Yes.
This is not the hog pen. There is peace in the house.
Yes.
Joy in the house.
Yes.
Healing in the house.
Yes.
Salvation in the house.
Yes.
Prosperity in the house. Everything you need is in the house.
In the house.
Everything you want's in the house. If it's not in the house, you don't need it. And if it's not in the house, you don't want it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, this day for your goodness to us. We thank you for this assembly gathered here this morning. We pray, Lord, that you'll open our eyes and our ears that we might behold wondrous things out of your word this morning in the name of Jesus. We have ears to hear this morning according to the word of the Lord. Glory to God. We thank you for these exceeding great and precious promises which we receive into our lives. We pray you give us the spirit of wisdom and not of fear, and give us revelation, knowledge, and understanding of the word of faith and authority of the believer, that we may be able to operate the ministries that you've given us in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So there's going to be a USS Sodom.
Oh, man.
It was named after, I can't remember.
I don't know what that, but it was the same idea anyway. Anyway, we've got this country has gone over the cliff, over the precipice. We have gone into the abyss. This country's not coming out.
I'm gonna tell you,
Revelation,
I don't really care.
Monday night.
This country's not coming out.
Let's go to the end.
I know that folks are saying, you know, that it's all going to turn around and we're all going to get our country back the way it used to be.
Nope.
Not happening. I disagree with that 100%. It's not going to happen.
Even on the election, whoever wins, there's going to be problems.
That's the problem. You see, we've got two people to vote for that are both firmly committed to gay rights, both of them. Donald Trump says he's going to be the best friend that the gay community ever had.
That's what he said.
He said it.
That's what he said.
Best friend the gay community ever had.
He said it.
Yeah, he's been saying that. So, you know what? I don't know what are we gonna do? It's
come, Lord Jesus.
That's the only thing
to stop me. Amen. Praise the Lord. What somebody say?
We're following.
You saw something on Facebook somewhere about hoping the Lord comes before this election.
Yeah.
I just hope the Lord returns before the election.
That.
Yeah, that's right. There was a church one on a church marquee on a billboard somewhere. There was one. It was written there. Something. What did it say?
Because Jesus is coming. I just hope it's before the election.
Yeah, that's right. Jesus is coming. Hopefully before the election. That's good.
We gotta live out Revelation.
All right, so we are in Acts chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13.
Hey, that's my favorite chapter.
Mine is 12, brother. Okay, yeah. Acts chapter 13, I think I left off at about the end of 14. We got Paul out of Antioch, and he was in Antioch. We got him from Antioch to Antioch, and we talked about that there were some 16 cities in the Roman Empire that were all called Antioch.
Okay.
And they were stretched all the way across Asia and Syria and Iraq.
I'm glad you said that, because when you said got him out of Antioch to Antioch, wasn't the students that you like, huh?
Where no, that's going? Right. That's right. So, yeah. So he was the Antioch that we think about all the time. When we think about Antioch, where the disciples were called Christians first, that was Paul's home church. Paul and Barnabas, that was their home church. Just across the bay from Tarsus, where Paul was raised, and that's where the disciples were called Christians first, was at Antioch. It says that there was at least five prophets and teachers in that church, and Paul was one of them, and Luke was another one, Barnabas was another one, and then the Lord set them forth into the office of the apostle, and they began to go out and do what apostles do. So, all right, so now he's gone back. They came to Antioch in Pisidia. That's in the whole, that's 200 miles or so from where he left. All right, and after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, ye men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, men of Israel and ye that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. With a high arm brought he them out of it. Now next few verses here is a message that Paul preached at the synagogue in Antioch. And it's one of the most important messages in the New Testament. For its value, its great value is in the historical aspect of this. And I don't think Sister Mary will let us get into that this morning because it takes us to Revelation. Takes us to Daniel and Revelation.
All roads lead to Daniel and Revelation.
But anyway, so what Paul says here when he's setting out the history of the children of Israel and all this is extremely important. And the Jewish people would do really well to pay attention to this and read this because for one thing it says that Saul, the reign of King Saul was 40 years. Which we know that it must have been quite a long time. But the Jews have it that he reigned for 2 or 3 years. I don't know how they get that. There's no basis for that whatsoever. But if they read the New Testament and they believed in the New Testament, they would know like we do that the reign of Saul lasted for 40 years, just like David's and just like Solomon's, it lasted for 40 years. That's what Paul said, and that's the way it is. But you can't. It doesn't work to have a short reign like 2 or 3 years. That just won't cut it. But so Paul tells us some really important things here. Then I guess I'll just go ahead and start reading some of them. All right. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed 7 nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. After that he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years till Samuel the prophet. That's the only place in the Bible where we really see that the time of the judges lasted 450 years. This is very important. And afterward they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, but Benjamin by the space of 40 years. Amen. So that is absolutely correct. You can take that one to the bank. And when he had removed him, he raised up to them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony, and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. When John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, Whom think ye that I am? I am not he, but behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children. In that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine holy one to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. Now, we know from the Old Testament, and I don't think it says it, I don't think it repeats it here again, but we know from the Old Testament that David's reign was 40 years. And it says here, for David served his own generation by the will of God. So how long is a generation? 40 years. That's right. So that's how we, that's one of the proofs from the scripture that we have that a generation is 40 years. A biblical generation is 40 years. And another one was, it says, when he talked about the generation of those that fell in the wilderness. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. It calls them a generation of the wilderness.
Yeah.
So a generation, a biblical generation, a prophetic generation is 40 years. When Jesus said, this generation shall not pass away, he was talking about his generation, that generation that he was there, that he was at.
Amen.
His generation was 40 years. Well, you say it didn't last 40 years because it was cut short. It only lasted 33 years. Well, it's going to finish out. The clock has stopped, okay, with 7 years to go. And when the clock begins to run again, his generation will begin again and finish out 7 years to 33 years and 40 years. And all of the things that Jesus said was going to happen to this generation will happen to that generation exactly as he said it, because all those things in the book of Revelation is going to happen in the last 7 years. So there we are. Here we are back in Revelation again.
All roads
lead to Revelation in Daniel. That's right. Praise
that's
him.
Good.
<He's> good.
But he, but he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Amen. Beware, lest the book of Revelations break in upon you and take you unaware. Unless the great tribulation happen to you and you not be aware you're trapped in it. Amen. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. And when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spoke against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Amen. All right, well, yeah, I don't believe in predestination, okay? I don't believe some people are predestined to go to heaven and some are predestined to go to hell. It's a whosoever will proposition. Now, I know that, you know, we've got some scriptures that say stuff like this, and most of them are spoken by the Apostle Paul. I don't believe the Apostle Paul believed in predestination, that some people were born to be lost and some were born to be saved. I don't believe any such thing. I don't believe he believed that. Of course, there are churches these days. And there, you know, back in the days of the Reformation, there were people who really believed that, you know, that...
God does target certain people like he did Paul.
Yeah. Yeah. But still, it's a whosoever will proposition. Now, I don't know, you know, I mean, that's one of the things, that's one of the things that I just sort of refuse to get into, like, is like the mystery of the Trinity. I'm not going to talk about that. I'm not going to debate that with anybody. I don't debate eternal security, and I don't debate predestination. So if you want to debate that, you'll have to find somebody else. All I can do is just point out, I don't believe in predestination now. Despite the fact that we've got some of these things like this here, can I explain them? Can I explain it perfectly? No, I don't pretend to be able to explain and expound perfectly on everything that might mean. I don't know. All I know is that there are too many scriptures that point out the fact that you have free will. You can decide whether you're going to accept Christ or you can decide not to. And it's up to you. Praise the Lord. But anyway, so I probably said way too much about that already. Amen. Turn this up.